Radio Prague News.
4 people were killed and 20 injured when a Czech bus crashed en route from Slovakia to the Czech Republic on Friday. Fans of football club Dinamo Zagreb clashed with police in the center of Prague on Thursday ahead of a UEFA Cup match. Striker Milan Baroš has scored yet again for his club, Galatasaray Istanbul. Four people were killed and more than 20 injured when a bus owned by the Czech firm Student Agency crashed while traveling a regular route from Slovakia to the Czech Republic. The accident took place in the Slovak region of Trenčín on Friday shortly after midnight. All 4 of the deceased are Slovak nationals. In all, 47 passengers were aboard when the bus left the road and flipped onto its side. Police overseeing the investigation say the driver tested negative for alcohol. They are now looking into other reasons behind the tragedy. Student Agency, meanwhile, announced it has put together a crisis management team to help survivors as well as the victims' families. Around 200 fans of the Croatian football club Dinamo Zagreb threw cobblestones and bottles during a clash with police in the center of Prague on Thursday evening. The incident came ahead of a UEFA Cup match against Sparta Prague. Dinamo fans made the Hitler salute and urinated on the city's Old Town Square before attacking police who were monitoring their route to Sparta's stadium. A number of police officers and rioters were injured and around 20 arrests were made. Thursday's clashes followed similar incidents in the Czech capital late Wednesday. Police President Oldřich Martinů has defended his choice of Martin Červíček as the new head of Prague's police, saying he had followed the letter of the law and stood firmly behind his choice. Mr. Martinů made the statement at a press conference in the east of the country on Friday. His choice of Martin Červíček came under fire earlier by Prague Mayor Pavel Bem. In a motion at City Hall, Mr. Bem criticized the Interior Ministry and the selection process in the case. Mr. Martinů dismissed the charge that the new Prague police chief lacked necessary managerial experience. In sports, Slavia Prague have qualified for the group stage of European football's UEFA Cup. A 1-1 draw against Vaslui in Romania was enough to put them through after an all-nothing draw in Prague earlier. The other 2 Czech clubs in action on Thursday were less fortunate. Sparta Prague drew 3-3 with Dinamo Zagreb, though the latter went through on the away goals rule. And Baník Ostrava could only manage a 1-1 draw with Spartak Moscow, who had beaten them in Ostrava in the first leg. In other UEFA Cup action on Thursday, Czech striker Milan Baroš scored for his new club Galatasaray Istanbul, helping his side defeat Switzerland's Bellinzona 2-1. The goal came off a penalty kick. Baroš is on a scoring streak at the moment. He has now scored 7 goals for his team in 4 games. And quickly, let's take a look at the weather. Mostly cloudy conditions are expected into the weekend. Daytime temperatures on Saturday should reach highs of around 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, rolling hills and deep pine forests are the typical Czech scenery, but that may be about to change as the government outlines a plan for healthier mixed forests. As the US presidential election draws ever nearer, we hold our own mini-debate with Republicans and Democrats abroad in the Czech Republic.
Because of the increased interest from the very young voters, first-time voters, unfortunately, I have to say that will probably benefit Barack Obama, but I still think that John McCain has an excellent chance.
This being Friday, we'll offer you a summary of the business news, and later on, in the arts, Rosie Johnson will take you to an exhibition of contemporary art. All that coming your way, stay with us. Forest Protests in the Czech Republic will undergo some profound changes following the adoption of a new national forest program by the government on Wednesday. The plan seeks to change the composition of forests, introduce different kinds of trees, and even limit the numbers of game, all in the interest of making forests healthier. After years of disagreements, environmentalists, hunters, and forestry experts have finally reached agreement on what needs to be done. Jan Richter has the story.
Forests make up approximately one-third of Czech territory. They were severely damaged by industrial growth and insensitive management during the 40 years of communist rule, and ever since the fall of communism in 1989, there have been consistent efforts to remedy the damage. On Wednesday, the government adopted a new national forest program, which sets down measures to make Czech forests healthier. Petr Vorlíček is the spokesman for the Czech Agriculture Ministry.
It's a plan for forest management which will be followed until 2013. It contains individual measures, methods, legal provisions, and other steps which determine what should be done with forests and how they should change.
Similar concepts have been compiled in the past, but now for the first time the government invited various non-governmental organizations to participate. Jan Blaha, who heads the forest program of Friends of the Earth Czech Republic, says there are two major problems concerning Czech forests, which the new program will address.
The first one is the emissions of toxic acid and so on. And the second is forest management, which use clear cuts. The forest law limits the clear cuts only to the 1 hectare, which results in degradation of the forest soil. Furthermore, Czech forests are mainly spruce or pine monoculture, and need urgently to improve the diversity of forest trees, to put into the forest more of broadleaf trees and fir.
Another issue which needs to be solved is the high numbers of game that damage newly planted trees. The Agriculture Ministry spokesman says the National Forest Program is a result of a balanced consensus, but Jan Blaha of the Friends of the Earth says the talks were tough.
It was a hard and difficult negotiation because the stakeholders have another aims and another attitudes, the forest of course. Therefore, I am quite satisfied with the result because we win many good parts of the National Forest Program.
The National Forest Program outlines measures to be applied until 2013. While some of the changes, for example, a more sensitive approach to timber production, can be applied almost immediately, experts agree that it will take several decades before spruce monocultures are replaced with more resistant broadleaf trees.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, in a month's time, US voters go to the polls in one of the most keenly watched presidential elections in decades. There are an estimated 6 million Americans living outside the United States. And with the two main candidates very close in the polls, their votes could well have an impact on November 4th. To get a flavor of how things look to Americans here in the Czech Republic, Ian Willoughby has been holding a kind of mini debate with representatives of both the major parties at a cafe in the center of Prague.
I'm at one of Prague's best-known cafes, the Café Slavia, and with me to discuss the fast-approaching U.S. presidential election are the head of the group Republicans Abroad in the Czech Republic, Roger Johnson, and from Democrats Abroad, Craig Hayes. One thing that I've been reading, gentlemen, is that they say there'll be an increase in overseas voters at this election. Why is that, do you think? And if it happens, which candidate would it benefit? Roger.
Well, I think there's a great deal of interest in this election. More and more young people are now becoming involved in the political process, and I think that's very important. I think it's a great thing to see. One way or the other, this is going to be a close election. I think because of the increased interest from the very young voters, first-time voters, unfortunately, I have to say that will probably benefit Barack Obama, but I still think that John McCain has an excellent chance.
I think one of the things, in addition to what Roger said, that has made the registration from abroad so much stronger this year is that it's easier. You know, people can do it online, at least obtain the information that they need to fill in the forms, guide themselves through it, and hopefully not make any mistakes.
How do the candidates reach you guys? How do they attract and reach the vote of Americans overseas, Craig?
Actually, that's something that's new. I don't know about McCain's campaign, but certainly Obama does. Obama has an American Abroad, Americans Abroad for Obama website, and they have people that have contacted me to see what we can do to work with them.
And similar for the Republican side, thanks to the internet and emails, there's quite a good network now of information that we're getting up to date from the candidates and the campaigns. But our primary purpose for Republicans Abroad, and I think it's similar for the Democrats, is to register voters, to get the vote out.
Do the concerns of voters abroad reflect the concerns of voters in the States, or would you have different concerns, Roger?
Well, one concern that that Americans abroad in general have, whatever their flavor may be, is the taxation of Americans abroad. And we have the unique distinction as American citizens. I think the only other country is one of the African countries, like Burundi, I believe, that taxes their citizens when they don't earn within the state itself. And we're required to submit our tax returns every year. And it's a much different situation. It's also become much more complicated and expensive for Americans living abroad in the last 2 years with changes to the tax code.
Would American voters overseas be more concerned with foreign policy, Craig?
I would say so. It seems to me that Americans living abroad are out from under the umbrella of the near hypnotic effect of U.S. media. Few people here watch Fox News. It seems to me that they're just almost entirely different in their thinking. I know when I visit with people who visit here from the U.S., I feel like I'm talking to somebody that's swooped in from another planet. They don't seem to have the same sort of priorities or concerns that I do and that other Americans living abroad I know share here. So there does seem to be a different point of view.
Especially in the last week, we've seen this continued crisis in the financial community and Wall Street and the credit crisis. I do think we have a responsibility in a leadership role for the Americans within the world to also take action and realize it's not just Wall Street and Main Street that's affected, but it's Champs-Élysées and Wenceslas Square and many other important main cities in the world that are affected by what happens in the U.S. economy.
Finally, it's an extremely exciting race. It's very, very close. Regardless of your party affiliations, if I was to give you $10,000 to bet on the outcome, who would you bet would win, Roger?
Well, with your $10,000, I'd be very happy to vote on to vote for John McCain in that. But also for my 10, I think I'd be ready to vote for John McCain. I think he's in an excellent position to win, but it'll be a tough one. It's going to be a squeaker again this year.
Craig?
Yeah, well, I guess you wouldn't be surprised that I would see it from the other side, although I would be nervous about betting my own $10,000. It's going to be a very close election, I think. There's a couple of debates yet coming up, and maybe that will shed some more light on how people see the election as we get closer to November 4th.
Ian Willoughby was talking there to Roger Johnson of Republicans Abroad and from Democrats Abroad, Craig Hayes. Now, this being Friday, it's time to bring you a summary of the business news for which I'm joined by Rosie Johnson.
Leading government officials and the head of the Czech National Bank went out of their way this week to reassure the public that the Czech economy would not be directly threatened by the global economic crisis and that people's savings were not in jeopardy. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, National Bank Governor Zdeněk Tuma and Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek said at a joint press conference on Thursday that no special measures were needed in connection with the crisis and that the government did not plan to amend its draft budget for 2009, even if the economy slowed down as a result of slower growth elsewhere in Europe. The finance minister said that the economy was healthy and could cope with a weaker performance, partly thanks to public finance reforms that have reduced corporate taxes.
The Czech economy is forecast to grow by 3.4% next year, compared with last year's record 6.6% growth. A moderate revival can be expected in the following years. Independent analysts predict that for a time, Czech economic growth will be pulled by households instead of exporters. With lower inflation expected, households will have more money to spend. Wages are expected to grow at the same pace as this year, but there are concerns over unemployment as a result of slower economic growth and a stricter credit policy. As the Czech finance minister put it, the good times are over, but he said things would now be normal rather than negative.
Like stock markets elsewhere, the Prague Stock Exchange fluctuated throughout the week, reflecting widespread insecurity over the US bailout plan. Shares fell steeply on several occasions, and many investors focused on short-term profits, selling shares within a day or two of acquiring them. Analysts predict that a single trend is likely to return on Monday after the result of voting on the bailout plan in the US House of Representatives is known.
The Czech Republic posted a foreign trade surplus of 3.6 billion crowns, that's $206 million US dollars in August, as imports and exports fell the fastest in 6 years, the National Statistics Office said Friday. Exports in August fell by 8.1%, while imports dropped by 10.1%. The total trade volume was at its lowest since August of 2006. Analysts say the foreign trade figures indicate to what degree the Czech economy is affected by the worsening economic climate in Western Europe.
Fear of unemployment was strong this week as the country's leading glass producer, Bohemia Crystal-X Trading, announced plans to axe two of its four plants due to severe financial difficulties. The move will put 1,800 people out of work. Although the government has refused to save the plants with a financial injection, it is planning to release several million crowns in support of requalification and new job opportunities in the regions affected.
Regulated rents in some Czech towns will grow by almost 50% as of January 2009, the news agency CTK reports, citing a poll among town halls. Rents in standard first category flats will grow the most in Zlín, Strakonice and Kutná Hora. Rents will also increase by more than 40% in some districts in Prague. Deregulation will go into its third year in 2009, and the annual rent in most flats should reach 5% of a flat's market price in 2010, when the deregulation process should be completed. There are more than 700,000 households with regulated rents in the Czech Republic. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now in this week's Arts, Rosie Johnson takes you to a rather unusual exhibition.
Have you ever wondered what a spider's web made out of neckties would look like? Or perhaps a dilapidated Italian house inside a Czech garage? Well, look no further. The Tina B Contemporary Arts Festival has, for the past week, been presenting some rather unusual pieces of art in some extremely unusual Prague venues. Artists from as far afield as Iceland and Japan have been exhibiting works alongside homegrown talent in the capital's Laterna Magica Theatre, Italian Embassy, and soon a rather unexpected final venue. The Tina B Temporary Space is set to open this Sunday. Beforehand, curator Marek Tomin gave me a tour.
Okay, well, we're in Prague 7, on a street called Dukalský Hrdinu, pretty much directly opposite the Czech National Gallery. And the building that we're in front of is essentially an abandoned, dilapidated building that we are turning into an exhibition space for the period of the Tina B Prague Tina B, the Prague Contemporary Art Festival.
Okay, and the facade of this building, I mean, it does seem to be an old lekarna or sort of pharmacy of some sort, but it's been slightly revamped for the purposes of this exhibition, I hear.
Well, what you see is a special intervention by a Japanese art group called Mohatori, and they've used hundreds, if not thousands, I think over 1,000 bits of A4 paper that they've cut variously It's a Japanese paper brought over from Japan. On one side, it's blue, and on the other, there's the image of a new material that they're using now in Japan that is made to look like wood, but isn't actually wood. It's actually sheet metal of some kind. And they've stuck these papers onto the facade. And if you look from a distance, from a few yards away, you will see that in fact it's the outline of a structure, and it's the outline of a building from their hometown near Hiroshima.
This third Tinobi festival spans from September the 25th to mid-October. As well as taking over the Italian embassy, organisers have commandeered a number of the city's billboards. Look out for nonsense collages made from newspapers and some rather odd advertising slogans on a signpost near you. But, according to Marek Tomin, the festival is also about bringing art from outdoors into a gallery. He shows me into the first room of his exhibition.
For me, this first room is the interface between public space as such and a more dedicated space. Although obviously, you know, this building is not a dedicated space in the normal sense of the word. It is an abandoned building which we are inhabiting with art for a limited period of time. And that's also one of the thrusts of Tinobi, is to look for alternative spaces that are not necessarily normally used for contemporary art. And this is the most stark example of that. I mean, this building has been out of use for many, many years. And what you see there is a tag by one of the younger street artists, a very young street artist called Zipper. Not an intervention that I actually asked for, this particular one, but he tagged the wall, you know. But what we see here, I mean, this is a classic by a classic of Czech street art called Pasta. It's essentially a kind of tag, but obviously not a tag along the lines of those squiggly doodles on facades of buildings.
And for our radio listeners, can you maybe explain a bit about what we've got directly in front of us?
Well, it says Pasta knows your dildo, and I think you know, it shows Mickey Mouse holding a pink, what is probably a vibrator, but it could be something else as well. I mean, he's holding it up as a kind of symbol of power in his fist, and I think really it's up to the viewer to decide what message is exactly it's imparting, and perhaps it's you should ask Pasta more about that.
Pasta was unfortunately not around to comment upon his work, but artist Hinek Vacek was. He's made an extraordinarily complicated and mechanical-looking piece, which glows technicolour in what was formerly the disused pharmacy's WC.
I usually use the projection to the plate glass. I can use another system with light and projection to the glass object. That's all. My work, it is a monoscope.
Hinek's monoscope sees a television set's cathode tube put to work inside a cut glass structure on wheels. Light, too, is very important in the next artwork that Marek Tomin takes me to see.
So this entire room is a site-specific installation by Vladimir Skrepel, who is head of Painting Studio 2 at the Academy of Fine Arts. It's a very interesting installation. Essentially, the key element of the installation is an altar with a figure on it of worship. It's an unusual idol to worship. It's all the different icons that perhaps society worships at this point in time, but mixed in with all the different aspects of, you know, the current materialistic tendencies of society. You know, Skrepel's work is always about beauty and ugliness, and somewhere the interfaces between the two, about love and hate, about self-hate, about hate of someone else.
It seems like a lot of the stuff in this room is not necessarily just here to provoke, but that a lot of it probably would provoke. I mean, we've got swastikas of sorts. We've got, you know, sort of talk about, like, comeback Lenin or whatever. There are sort of daubings over on that wall. There's a lot of kind of quite graphic pornography. I mean, is this kind of deliberately set out to shock, or is that a very simplistic view of it? I mean, what's going on?
They're definitely not trying to shock deliberately, but rather, you know, presenting that which is shocking and is all around us. I mean, nothing in this room you cannot buy on the newsstand, you know, in your local corner shop. But in presenting it together, you know, Vladimir is making some kind of a, you know, is it's about presenting it, you know.
And it is very prettily presented. When I first came into this room, I thought, oh, look at all the nice colours, blah, blah, blah. But then you start looking and maybe there's sort of a lot more going on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Skrepal's work is all about soft and hard, and about the softness of the hard, and, you know, the colour tones, the pinks, and which one would normally associate with something soft, you know, and cuddly. But in fact, it has a very, very brutal content and impact. And essentially, it's working with these contrasts that the whole installation is about.
The Tina B Alternative Space is perhaps one of the funnest and most unusual places I've gone to look at art in a while. Just beware of the tripping hazards and bare wiring when you go. After a few initial teething problems, the space is set to open on Sunday, October the 5th, and stay open for the next 3 weeks. And that spider's web of neckties is quite a sight to see.
And I'm afraid that edition of The Arts with Rosie Johnson has brought us to the end of today's programme. I'd just like to remind you that you can find all of our programmes on www.radio.cz. And should you like to write in, then the email address is english@radio.cz. Or you can send your letters to Vinohradská 12, Prague, postal code number 12099. We will, of course, be glad to hear from you, as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and have a great weekend.